It is good to see everyone today on this Sunday, February 17th, 2019. The title of today's message is To Will and to Perform. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 7, and we're going to continue to examine the study of the mindset of humility and how the positional mindset of humility is so important. There is no other mindset by which you are promised to be blessed by God in the Word of God. God will show grace, help, and blessing to the humble, and God will resist and hold back and oppose the proud. Amen. So it's very, very important we be humble. And we understand what humility is. Humility is correct thinking about yourself. Humility has you in a proper position before God. It has God in a proper position before you. And it has others in a proper position before you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and esteemed the needs of others higher than his own. And that's the same way it is for us. So, in humility, God is here and I'm here. And you may say, well, Brother Leo, I thought you had to lower yourself to be humble. Yeah, we do have to lower ourselves to be humble because our fallen human nature keeps raising ourselves up in a position we don't need to be in. All right. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present within me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Verse 21, I find then a law or a principle that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin and a cleansing, a weekly sin. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit physically to share this truth. That you would give me the voice and the breath and the strength just to share this word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, in humility that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. And that you just take over, Father. I pray to be cleansed by your blood. Father, I say publicly to you, confession of sin. But when we're in the prayer closet, Lord, I speak them out loud to you specifically. And they're real to me. And you said to confess them out loud. And I know that the blood of Jesus cleanses me. So, Father, I just pray you take over. In your name. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 basically says this. I know that in me, in my flesh dwells no good thing. I possess an inward desire in my mind to do good. I think about doing good things. But how to perform righteous actions, I cannot attain. So he possesses an inability to perform what he wants to perform in a righteous way. He can't do it. And he can't do it on his own. Look what it says in verse 21. Thank you so much, Judy. Thank you. I find a law that when I want to do good in my mind, evil is present within me. I delight to do the law of God and righteousness in my mind. I want to do the right thing. But I see another principle in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the principle of sin, which is a huge part of my fallen human nature. Now, I want you to know something. That word law means principle. And it's like the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. In your flesh, in your human fallen nature, sin exists today, it existed yesterday, and the desire to commit sin, the propensity to commit sin, is going to be with you until the day you die. Amen. So Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, what am I going to do?" Look at the principle, to will and to perform. To want to and to perform. Why is it? What is it? Why is it that I cannot perform what I want to do? So, what's his conclusion? Well, if you go down to verse 25, he goes, verse 24, he goes, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, I'm not going to go to verse 25 yet, but in verse 24, when we get to that part, his own conclusion is, "I am a wretched man." And you say, "Brother Leo, why would he say that about himself?" Because he doesn't want to sin, and he keeps sinning. So, he's a wretched man. Because he cannot help himself. So he's saying, something's missing. So I want you to remember that phrase, to will and to perform. Now let's go find that phrase somewhere else. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Let's find out what's missing. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the scripture says this: "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." They're saved now, and he wants them to work things out since then. Now, notice this phrase again: "For it is God which works in you both to do his will and to do of his good pleasure." Yeah. Now in Romans 7, Cameron, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who's going to help me in this?" And then in the next verse, he says, "I thank God for Jesus Christ my Savior." Yeah. There is no way I can perform righteous action. There is no way I can live the Christian life on my own. But it can only be lived through the divine, omnipotent power of God working in me. It is God which works in me. So I want to say that to you again. To live out the Christian life, I need the divine, omnipotent power of God working on me, in me, and through me, just like when you got saved. Oh, foolish Galatians, oh, foolish Methodists, oh, foolish Baptists, did you begin in the Spirit, but now you're going to grow yourself in the flesh? Did you get saved in the Spirit, but now you're going to grow and find victory over sin in the flesh? No, you know the only way I got saved, I surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. Amen. I said, "Lord Jesus, I can't save myself, so I got to give everything over to you. What you did on the cross saved me, and I receive the power of your Holy Spirit to save me." So I want you to understand something. If I'm going to find victory in the Christian life, I've got to surrender again. So what is it, Brother Leo, that you are to surrender? Now, look at Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, "It is God which works in you." Okay? So how does God work in us? Well, he works in us two ways. The first way is to impart his will. And the second way is to carry out righteous actions. All right, the first way, he imparts his will. The second way, he carries out righteous actions. It is God which works in you both to will and then to do of His good pleasure. We must first allow the Holy Spirit to impart God's will, God's desires, God's mind over us. The first thing you've got to do, and we studied this last week, humility leads to surrender. You've got to surrender your will and your mind and your mental processes unto God. You say, well, Brother Leo, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to show you in a minute scripturally. But we're not even going to look at too much of the doing today, because if we can get the mental aspect straightened out, we're going to be in great shape. You know what Patty always tells me? She said, you know what, Leo, people do exactly what they want to do. I'll say, Patty, there won't be many people at church today. It's raining. She goes, yeah, but all them people will be at work tomorrow, won't they? I said, well, we can't pay them to come to church. We can't give them benefits to come to church. But the bottom line is we do what we want to do. And so God's got to work on our wanna first. And He's got to work on our will first. So the first thing we've got to understand is it's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we must first allow the Holy Spirit to impart God's will, God's desire, and God's mind over our own. So what we're basically doing is asking the Holy Spirit to change the way we think. Now, I want to ask you something right now. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever said, Lord, I need you to change the way I think? Lord, I need you to change the way I think about this area, about that area, about that area. You know, a lot of people say, Lord, stop me from doing this. Stop me from doing that. Lord, I wish I'd have never committed this sin. Lord, I wish I'd have never done this action. Lord, keep me from doing this action. My friend, you're 10 steps behind when you're praying that. You got to ask God to mortify your desire to do those things. And I'll show you that scripture in a moment. But first of all, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. God hath revealed many deep things unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now I'm going to read it to you again. God hath revealed unto us in our minds by His Spirit the deep things of God as He searches our hearts and minds. Verse 11, for what man knows everything about a man except the spirit and the mind of the man which is in him? You might think you know me well. You don't know me half as well as I know myself. You don't even know what I'm thinking right now. But I know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking right now, but you know what you're thinking. And that's what that scripture says. A man knows himself by his own thoughts. Now, I can be thinking I hate somebody and absolutely walk up to them and put my arms around them and hug them. I want you to understand how deep this is, how powerful this is. So you need to understand that God's got to work on our minds. Now, look at what he says. Verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit and the mind of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Holy Spirit teaching our mind, this is inward teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things that can be spiritually discerned. Verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit in our heart to instruct us." So what do I need? I need the Holy Spirit to change the way I think, to change my mindset, to change my perspectives, to change my thought pattern, to change my desires, my goals, and my plans in the areas where they need to be changed. And you know, it's okay to say to the Lord, "Lord, this is what I think about this situation. But you know, I may be wrong, or Lord, I'm probably wrong, and I know you know all things, so work on my mind in this area of my life." Yeah. There may be folks out there that the Lord's trying to change something in your life, and you're holding on to it because you just don't think you can live without it. Or you don't think you're going to ever do any better. And that's a lie from the devil. You need to get the Lord's way of thinking in this area, because he may want you to release whatever it is you're holding on to now so he can bring into your life the blessing he's already got for you. And so people continue to hold on, they continue to live, and their actions are ruled by their thoughts, and they never put their thoughts before the Lord. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Let me show you how important this is. And while we're turning there, I just want to confess to you, there have been many times I have been solidly convinced in my mind about a situation, and I've been totally wrong. I was convinced. You ever been convinced somebody felt a certain way about you, and you say, "Patty, this person can't stand me. I mean, they absolutely can't stand me." You know, and you're thoroughly convinced in your mind that this is the way it's going to go. Or you're currently about some other situation, and I've been totally, absolutely wrong. I want you to understand, my mental processes, my perspectives, my way of looking at things, they are just as imperfect and flawed as every other characteristic of my fallen human nature. But we always focus on the actions. You know, and we never go to the source of what caused the actions. We focus on the feelings. "Oh man, I hate to be bitter. I hate not to forgive. I hate to be angry at people. I hate to lose my temper. I hate to treat people mean. I hate to cheat. I hate to lie. I hate to steal." But we never, you know, "Oh God, forgive me," and God chase. Well, what about the thought process that led you to the action? And that's why Philippians 2:13 says God's got to work on your will and your mind and your desire and your mental outlook, and then the actions will be changed. Lord Jesus, change the way I think. Change the way I feel. Change the things I'm hoping for if they're not according to your will. And lay them on the altar. And place them before the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this: "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What does that mean, Brother Leo? For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he acts. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he speaks. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he does. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I'm going to tell you something. I can't do one thing without thinking about it first. Well, what about these knee-jerk reactions? Well, they started out in my brain before they knee-jerked. I want you to understand that. But there is nothing we are doing, are currently involved in, our plans we're making, or steps we're taking, or places we're going, or things we're saying, or feelings we've got toward people that have not originated in our minds. And so what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying, remember last week, all that I am is yours, all that I have is yours. You got to surrender your mind to Jesus. Are you an easily depressed person? Well, I want you to understand something. You need to surrender that over to the Lord. Let Him remove that and put joy there. Are you a hopeless person? God wants to put hope there. Whatever it is, you got to give your mind to Jesus. Do you not believe that God can touch a person's body right now and heal any cancer, heal any bleeding internally, heal any situation they have? Well, I want you to understand, God can reach down and touch somebody's mind, and their mind can be in a process or be in a situation that it's been in for 5 years or 5 minutes, and God can change that and heal it also.
Amen.
And He can do it for us.
Yeah.
I can't tell you in my 30-something years of ministry the number of people I've met that have said, Brother Leo, my name's so-and-so, and this is, the you know, you're going to get to know me, and this is how I am, this is how I've always been, this is how I'm always going to be. I don't mean anything by it, Brother Leo. It's just how I am. No, I don't accept that at all. I want to tell you today, I would be very discouraged if I thought the way I am right now mentally is the way I'm always going to be in my life. I think I can have more hope. I think I can have more peace. I think I can have more compassion. I think I can have more understanding. I think I can have more love. I think I can have more humility. I think I can have more all these things. And I praise God He's willing to give them to us. Because when I said all more of that, that means less anxiety and less disruption and less this and less that. And I want you to understand, my friend, you've got the one great stronghold is the stronghold of your mind. And there are already preconceived notions and conclusions that you've come to about situations in your life or situations with your loved ones that may not be of God. And you need to lay those things on the altar. Because until we're thinking in a righteous, godly way, we'll never be able to follow through with the actions that'll be a blessing in the situation to ourselves and to others. But as long as we're thinking selfishly and self-centeredly and pridefully, you say, well, Brother Leo, I really didn't think it was prideful. Well, anything that's independent of God, we've already established, is prideful. Eve made a prideful decision. She stepped independently of God and selfishly partook of the fruit to elevate herself. And so I need to depend on God in this. And all you have to tell the Lord is, Lord, in this relationship or in this job or in this situation or with this particular sin, I have not mentally approached it in dependence upon You. And put that thing before the altar and say, Lord, how am I supposed to think about this? Bring thoughts into my mind that are Your thoughts. The psalmist says, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Let the meditation of my thought in my mind. So He will change our will, our thought process, the way we think, our goals, our desires. He'll change our plans into His plans. And when you begin praying this, when you begin praying this mentally and seeking God, in 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know something, I've really changed.
Yeah.
I've really changed. You know, years ago, I used to think this way about this, that, and the other. And you know, I've really been changed in the way I think. And so you got to surrender your mind unto God. Let me show you some folks that have done that. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Have we ever prayed this prayer? Psalm 51, verse 10 says this: "Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart and mind." That word that is translated heart, that is a Hebrew Chaldean word that means heart and mind. And heart always really means mind in the scriptures. In verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart and mind, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Lord, change the way I think. Have you ever prayed about, you know, look what he's saying. "Create me a clean heart, O God, create me a clean, renewed mind, O Lord, and a right spirit within me." You know, sometimes you're not just asking God to change the way you think. You're asking God to give you a new perspective on something you've been thinking about, or a new perspective on a situation. And you know whose perspective that is? It's God's perspective. And that's what you're asking for. Refresh my, give me a fresh perspective. Because man, so often in life, I can get in a rut when it comes to perspective and keep approaching situations the same way, even within my career, you know, in the ministry. And then the Lord will give you a light bulb and you'll see a so much easier way to look at things and how to approach them and how to handle them. And that's basically he's saying, Lord, change the way I think. Psalm 51:10. You know, Lord, change the way I think. Go with me to Psalm 139. You can pray Psalm 51:10. You can pray Psalm 139 about specific areas in your life. Now, I'm not telling you to pray this generally. All right, Lord, just change the way I think. That's never going to achieve anything. Lord, change the way I think about this situation in my life. Show me the correct way to think and the correct perspective and the correct mental approach to this situation in my life. Psalm 139, verse 23 says this: "Search me, O God, and know my mind. Try me and know my thoughts." All right, what's he saying there? That's Hebrew Chaldean, same word. "Search me, O God, and know my mind. Try me, Lord, and know and reveal my thoughts." He's saying there, Lord, examine the way I think. Examine for me the way I think. Put your thoughts there. You know, it's just like, you go to a restaurant, first time you ever went to a restaurant. And you go there and bless your heart, it's your luck. The main cook that everybody's been bragging about is sick, he ain't there. But you don't know it, they're not going to come out there and tell you that. And you order and it's a disaster. Guess what? You never go back. You don't care how many people brag on it. You never go back. Oh, we went there one time and it was a disaster. It was terrible. You know what that is? That's human nature. Human nature. And you will be surprised how much first-time mental impressions lock us into a mindset that can last our entire life, our many years, and can also cause us to shut the door on a situation. One impression. You know, what if somebody came here today and they get to hear Leo Dole preach with the flute? And they say, what's the big deal about this guy? He's pathetic. You know, there are situations in life where we are so quick to mentally lock in and then never, ever, ever change. And I want you to understand, your brain is just as much capable of sin as your hands are. And so we've got to take these things before the Lord. Look what he says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Correct it and lead me in the way everlasting. Examine the way I think. My ingrained mindsets. I want you to change me from the mind of Leo in this situation to the mind of God. I just started praying all this stuff since I started studying it. I hadn't prayed about my mind nearly as much as I should have been. But boy, since I've been 10, 12 years old, I've been confessing a bunch of actions. I've been confessing a bunch of thoughts, hateful words, but I've never pulled back into the root of it. But when you get to Philippians 2, 12 and 13, God works in you first on the mental and then on the action. And I'm going to be, 99% of it's the mental. We miss it. We miss it. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Here's the third prayer. The first prayer, Psalm 51:10. The second prayer, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And the final part of this prayer is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, when it comes to the way I feel about Ken, let your mind be in me. Lord Jesus, when it comes to the way I feel about Betty, let your mind be in me. Lehman, Lord Jesus, when it comes to the big decision I've got to make this week, let your mind be in me. Put your thoughts in me. Now, this is the humility chapter, you know. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He looked on the needs of others more important than himself, and he humbled himself and he came to earth. This is the mind of humility. But the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit will work on your mind. You know, there may be something in your life you need to take to the Lord that you have been depressed about for 25 years. And God wants to change your perspective and the way you look at this thing. And until you allow Him to do that, you are not capable. You can either pray Psalm 51, you know, create me a clean mind, Lord, or a new mind, renew my mind. Psalm 139, search my thoughts and change them. Or you can pray, Lord, put your mind and your thought process in me concerning this situation in our family. Or you can just pray how we started. Oh, wretched man that I am, ain't nothing gonna change. I want to praise God for the times He's changed our minds. Where they were in error to where they're in righteousness. But I also want to thank Him for His mercy. Because we need to make a conscious mental effort to surrender our mind, our thought processes to Him in these situations. Now before I close, I want to show you the to-do part. God working in me to will, to change my mind, and God working in me to do, to change my actions. It's just one verse. Go back to Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 13, it says this. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let me read this incorrectly. But if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Would you leave out, Brother Leo? I left out what you folks leave out, what I leave out all the time. We try to live righteously without the Holy Spirit. We try to live righteously within our own power. I'm going to quit smoking. You ever heard somebody say that? They're going to quit smoking. And you know how they're going to do it? Sheer willpower. And you know, somebody will say, Brother Leo, you know I quit smoking. You did, yeah. 4 months, 7 days, 5 hours and 27 minutes ago. That's a miserable way to quit smoking. Well, you know why, you know how, but they've done it. But you know what the problem is? They still want to smoke. So how do you mortify the desires of the flesh? By allowing the Spirit. Surrender this situation to the Spirit. Whatever it is physical, surrender it to the Spirit. And I'm just using smoking a cigarette because it's an easy example. Say, Lord, I want you to mortify this desire I have to smoke a cigarette. Every time I go to smoke a cigarette, Lord, I want you to make me nauseated. I want you to change me. I want you to take it away. And then you know what the Lord will do? He'll bring into your mind, you know, your children and your grandchildren and other situations and things, the reasons why you need to have that desire and that motivation so that you can be healthy and love your family and be there for people. And it's just a small illustration, but there are so many other ways. Whatever it is in your life, you just have to say, Lord, I need you to mortify that desire which is in my flesh that results in a deed or an action. I want you to change that. And that's another way of surrendering your mind to the Spirit in another area. Lord, just take the desire away. Deliver me. Pray that prayer. Lord, deliver me from the desire. But you got to understand that phrase, through the Spirit. I can't emphasize it enough. It is infinitely huge. You do not have to live out your Christian life in the power of your own flesh. You don't have to think another thought today under the authority of your fallen human mind. You don't have to feel another feeling today under the authority of your human emotions. Whatever it is that really whips you spiritually, say, Lord, I surrender all. All that I have and all that I am, I give to you. That was what we studied last week. This week, we're specific. Whatever area. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I want you to show me the number one area in my life where I need to surrender unto you and allow you to change the way I'm thinking and the way I've been thinking for quite a while. I want you to speak to me with your still small voice right now, Lord Jesus. And I want you to reveal to me the error of my thoughts.